Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to this Friday's edition of the Bunker Files with Vincent Finelli. He's also the host of USA Prepares at the GCN Network. I'm Aaron Dakins. I'm host of the Truth Traveler Radio Show at the GCN Network, and together we team up to bring you the Bunker Files. So welcome,
Aaron. It's great to be with you broadcasting every Friday, and what's special about this one is we're live. So, do we have Tom Deegan?
He's getting ready to call in.
Yeah, it looks like he's here. Hey, Tom, are you there?
There we go.
Yeah, that's
great. Oh, thank you.
So what we're talking about, Tom, is that we have noticed, we have friends across the country, and we've noticed that they're tired, they're worn out, and there's a relationship between the overcast days that we have for, it's 12 weeks now of almost every day being overcast. We've had a few days in a row of sunshine, but other than that, overcast, rainy, gloomy, we've got mold growing in the barn. It's really damp. It almost rains in the barn from all the humidity. Aaron was telling me that, her husband was out there doing some physical work and he was dripping wet. Same thing with me. I was out in the barn working on some electrical, circuits and I was dripping wet before the broadcast. And I thought, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to go inside and
is it the same in West Virginia, Tom?
Yeah, every time I go run, you're dripping in about 5 minutes. It's terrible weather here. We've had, more rain than I can remember in any summer. They're at war with us. I mean, it's that simple. They're at war with us.
We have the tomato crop has the leaves on the tomatoes in our garden have turned black. And it's not, it's not just our garden. It's our neighbor's garden, as well. And our neighbor has, depends on his garden. He has a garden that will feed three families. Literally, his family completely will feed his family and three other families. And he brings some of his extras over to us as a nice neighbor. And he was telling us, he said, yeah, we've got exactly the same thing. And he is meticulous about his garden.
My garden is doing fantastic.
Well, it's the mold here. It's too much rain.
Now, I have mushrooms in some of my house plants. Now, figured that one out. Okay.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Now, Miles just sent me a Skype, guys. And, Vinny, this goes back, and I've talked to Tom about this, too, how the Wi-Fi is just sucking the batteries dry on all your gadgets. Mm-hmm. He said 3 to 5 hertz over ELF makes you docile and tired.
Yeah, 3 to 5 cycles per second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hertz is the newest version of the term cycles per second. So 3 to 5 hertz is 3 to 5 cycles per second. It's extremely low frequency, extremely low. For example, human hearing is said to be somewhere between 20 cycles per second or 20 hertz and 20,000. The highest notes would be at the extreme range of our hearing, about 20,000. Cycles per second or 20,000 hertz. And the low, deep, deep bass notes are closer to the 20 cycles per second. Yeah, I mean, you can feel it. But 3 cycles per second, I don't know if you can I guess if you were really paying attention, you could feel it, depending on, the power level of 3 cycles per second. But, yeah, I can understand how that would, kind of make you lethargic and just, mm-hmm. put you in a coma.
Yeah, just make you tired, which is probably their gig here.
You're doing a great
job. It's not working on me.
Really?
Yeah. I'm tired from lack of sleep, not these idiots.
Well, you should try sleeping.
So, Tom.
I ain't had time yet.
So, Tom, you've been on the air and you've been telling those who are paying attention all about contract law and maxims. And that's what we're going to be doing for the next 2 hours, right?
I believe so, unless you had other things you wish to talk about.
Well, okay, why don't we start with a case study? How about that? You ready?
Okay.
All right. So I have this preparedness expo, and this is an actual situation that happened to me and our guests. So we had expo number 7, in March, the last weekend in March. We had it in a city called Lebanon, Missouri. This the corporation of the city of Lebanon, Missouri. It was our third event in Lebanon, Missouri, and we have a setup day, which is Friday, where the exhibitors and the speakers and the vendors all show up, and we get the convention hall set for the next 2 days, which would be Saturday and Sunday. The guests arrive, most of the guests arrive on Saturday and Sunday, but some like to come on Friday during the setup day and you know, meet some of the people who are there. Who's there? Well, they would be the instructors of our radio broadcast, USA Prepares. So about 100 instructors show up, guests show up, and during the setup, the police show up. Now, we're in a 46, 47,000 square foot building or room, and we've rented that room plus three seminar rooms plus the lobby plus the mezzanine plus the concession stand where we are serving hot dogs and soft drinks and water and so forth and coffee. Well, the police come in the back door. The canine team comes in the back door with a they did not bring the dog. They left the dog outside in the car. And so two uniformed police come in, and they're looking around. And I walked up to these guys, and I said, hey, how's it going? You know, very friendly, very polite. And I said, I just want you guys to know that at 6 o'clock tonight, we're having our banquet dinner right here. And we are consecrating the ground as sacred Native American ground with a Native American. And so we're consecrating this, and it will be off limits to any police who are on duty and in uniform. Now, if you'd like to come back out of uniform and off duty, you're welcome to do so. But at our banquet dinner at 6 o'clock tonight, we're consecrating the grounds, and we're having a lot of speakers, and it's going to be 3 hours. So from that point through Sunday, we're consecrating this ground. And we had done this in the past. This is nothing new. The newspaper had said that we were going to do it, and we did it the last time. We had the entrance posted, but these guys came in the back. They came in the back. They didn't pay admission. They decided they were going to skip all the formalities and the things that everyone else had to do in order to be there. They're the cops, and they're just going to push their way in. Well, they were so angry with me that they went to the front of the expo hall where Erin Dakins was, and they complained to her at the USA Prepares booth about me. It's like, this guy is telling us these things. Well, they then called the city manager, and the city manager then was on the phone with me, and he said, look, it's our facility, and we're going to do what we want. And I said, yeah, I get it, but I'm the tenant. And we're consecrating it, and I'll just have to judge you by your actions. Well, they decided they would send more cops, and on Saturday they sent teams of cops, and on Sunday they sent the fire trucks, two fire trucks, lights, sirens, horns, and all that, and people were afraid. They parked the fire engine right in the entrance, and it looked like there was something really bad going on. And they said, well, you know, we got a call from another part of the building. They said there was a light fixture that smelled, and so we came with the fire trucks and the lights and sirens and all that. And I said, you guys disrupted the expo. You guys scared away our guests. As a matter of fact, there were three doctors that came from Georgia who bailed because they were terrified of the cops and the situation. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. So on Friday night, or Friday before the banquet dinner at 6 o'clock, I was on the phone with the manager of the expo hall. And he's the same guy that has been involved with us before. And I said, what are you guys doing? He said, Vinny, if it were up to me, just because you said you didn't want the cops there, I would have sent six more. And so I met with the city manager the next, right after the expo was over, the next week. And I said, do you have a copy of the Missouri Constitution? I had one in my hand. The Missouri State Constitution. I said, do you have one of these? He said, yeah, somewhere in my car or something, but we don't go by that. We have our own set of policies and procedures. Then I set up a meeting with the mayor.
Well, he told you right there.
Yeah, he told me right there. We don't go by the Constitution.
They don't go by the Constitutions.
Right. We have our own set of policies and procedures. And I met with the, I asked to have a meeting with him and the fire chief and the police chief and the mayor all at once. Well, he decided he would dispense with me meeting with any of those other guys. Because the fire chief reported to him. He said the police chief reported to him. And he told him not to come.
You also put a notice in the newspaper, Miles says, to remind you of that.
Yeah. So anyway, this was all public information. And I met with the mayor, you know, a couple of days later, and he said, "Well, look, you know, people do stupid things, and you know, him saying that we don't go by the Constitution, that's just one of those stupid things that people do." He didn't say, "I'm going to fire that guy," because who does he think he is, not abiding by the rule book that we allegedly are operating under? And my point is, they damaged our expo. I mean, they seriously damaged our expo. We had really poor attendance on that Sunday. And so what I did to make it up to our guests, and I'm sorry, I gave free food to our guests, not all of them, but some. I gave out free coffee mugs. I gave the exhibitors who were going to be paying me at the end of the expo for the booths. I said, look, I'm sorry about what happened. So, you know, your booth space is on me. And I lost thousands of dollars, thousands, as a result of them scaring away our guests. And at the banquet dinner on Friday night, the setup night, I explained what happened. And we had a packed room. I don't think they've ever had so many people have dinner in one room. It was packed, and I asked our instructors to spend 2 minutes introducing themselves. So 2 minutes times 100 instructors and exhibitors is 200 minutes. That's over 3 hours. So just a 2-minute introduction took about 3 hours. The caterers who have been there have said they've never seen any event last that long. That was so interesting. That was so well organized. That was so well run. That was so well behaved. And they said, and I asked the group, the entire banquet dinner group, how many of you would like to come back to Lebanon knowing what you know? Nobody. Nobody wanted to come back to Lebanon except one guy who said, who got it backwards. He thought I said how many, you know, he got it exactly backwards, so he didn't want to come back to Lebanon either. So unanimously, nobody wanted to go back to Lebanon for another Get Prepared Expo. So my question for you, Tom, is what are my remedies?
You have none within their system. I mean, we're facing that right here. I just got an update that our case is not even scheduled to be considered until the fall. There is no remedy within their system against them anymore. You could try litigation for damages. And they may, maybe after 4 years and a couple hundred thousand in lawyer's fees, you know, you may be able to win a few bucks. But there is no remedy anymore, within their system. They can do what they want at this point. Remember, you are the enemy. You are the enemy.
And it's...
So everything they did, they can do.
And they just make up the rules as they go.
Absolutely. Why not?
What
I mean, if I had, you know, if I had the guns behind me, I'd make up rules too as I went along. I'm the king. I'd just make it up. Just, you know, whatever I feel like. They're acting like they are truly the kings.
There is no question in my mind.
And you are correct when you say that they follow their rules, procedures. I was dealing with a court in a criminal matter for 4.5 years, and every time I attempted to bring up the original contract that allowed them to even exist, that was called a frivolous argument. A frivolous argument.
How can that be?
And
Did you happen? Wow.
Go ahead.
Echo.
Wow.
No, just echo. I'm echoing back at myself.
Okay.
Oh, God. The city of Lebanon.
The city of Lebanon.
Is a private corporation, correct?
Correct.
So that civic center that's owned by the city of Lebanon is a privately held building.
Correct.
So he does have no recourse, does he?
I mean, you don't have a recourse to one of their courts because they'll drag it out so long, you'll spend more in lawyer's fees. And that's if you can even win at that point, if it's not dismissed as being frivolous.
Now, is the city of Lebanon traded on Dun & Bradstreet and Manta?
I guarantee it.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. How can Vincent go about, just so he can see it, or the listeners, how do you pull these entities up through Dun & Bradstreet or Manta?
Manta is manta.com, and what you would do is just simply there's a search bar there. You would try various terms until you find it, because sometimes the search engines there are a little funny. So you just have to play around, you know, city of Lebanon, Lebanon City. You just play around with it. What state is that?
It's in Missouri. I'm doing that right now.
Missouri?
Huh?
Yeah, that's what I was going to. And you just play around, and that's how we ended up finding, you know, the Virginia West Legislature instead of the West Virginia Legislature. It was just toying around. Dun & Bradstreet, I'm looking here. I think I have a link where you can search, but you can't get real detailed info unless you actually pay for the account. Let me see if this is it here. Okay, it looks like, let me see here, I'm on done, so let me type that in. And that's spelled like Lebanon, Beirut?
Yes.
And?
I've looked up some for Indiana, so I'm sure Missouri's the same.
They're all the same. Let's see, I've got headquarters, 1401 W Commercial.
Yeah.
I have a branch at Kent Road. I have a branch at 401 South Jefferson Avenue.
That's it.
A branch at AA Highway.
401 South Jefferson is where City Hall is.
That's a branch, according to it.
Mm-hmm. That's where the mayor hangs out.
Let's see, we've got another one at 370 North Adams Avenue. We've got another branch at 43 Greenwood Drive. You've got the City of Lebanon Park, 744 Southwest.
So these are all
South
separate?
Washington Avenue.
All separate corporations?
Yeah, they're branches. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, and so you're at manta.com, and what did you type in?
It looks like creditreports.dnb.com. What I had saved was the West Virginia search I did, so I'm going to copy and paste that and see if it pulls up the same.
Well, this is fascinating, and the thing that's really, really offensive to me is that you think that you're operating under above board, but actually they can change the game at any time they want. They can shut off services. For example, and this has happened to us in the past, where we've rented a facility that was run by the government, and they decided that, well, we're just going to shut the Wi-Fi off and shut off the commerce. And they did. They literally shut the commerce off. And that meant that merchants could not take credit card, couldn't process credit card transactions if they didn't have a cell phone that could do it. They couldn't do it with their computer. This was a couple of years ago.
Right.
And I talked to the management. I said, hey, you know, you got to turn this back on. They said, well, we can't do it because, you know, the director of the center, it's the weekend. And I said, yeah, I know. So give him a call. They said, no, we can't do that. We can't call him. He's off today. I said, you're interrupting commerce. This is a huge problem. Let's get this thing fixed. And they wouldn't do it. They would not turn the Wi-Fi back on. So I guess the little people who work there, stand up and protect the boss from having the boss do his job, right? And that gets back to this scenario that we're all seem to be experiencing more often, and that is there's nobody to call. So, you know, if you're on the side of the road and you're being tased by the cops, the last thing you want to do is call 911. There's nobody to call. Nobody to call.
Correct. And I mean, state of Missouri, headquarters, 201 West Capitol Avenue, room 216. They got branches, state of MO, 710 Gordon Street, Concordia, 1521 South Benton Avenue, Marshall, state of MO, 903 West Walnut Street, Waverly, state of Missouri, 18701 U.S. Highway 66 Pacific, state of Missouri, 4806 Forum Boulevard, Columbia, state of Missouri, 502 Westchester Avenue, Harrisonville.
So you're
19 Madison Street.
You're just listing.
I'm going right through Don Brad Street right now.
You're listing off corporations that we believe are the government of the state of Missouri, and you're just rattling off corporations.
Yeah. Corrections, Missouri Department of Corrections, 1101 East U.S. Highway 54, Vandalia.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri Department of Higher Education, Missouri Department of Natural Resources, Senate, Missouri State Senate, 8420 Delmar Boulevard, Suite LL4, St. Louis, Missouri, House of Representatives, Missouri, 1014 Madison Street, Jefferson City. Your legislature is a corporation.
And, you know,
state of Missouri has many branches.
Uh-huh. And we thought
state of Missouri has many branches. Go ahead.
We thought that, you know, there are corporations and then there's the government and then there's us.
Correct.
But it's really there are corporations and us. And that's it.
Correct. That's it.
And
it is creditreports.dnb.com, and you can search anything.
Creditreports.b.
D as in dog. N as in Nancy. B as in Bob.
Mm-hmm. .com. Okay.
Now, Tom, all of these corporations, the sheriff's departments, police departments, legislatures, governors, whatever, all of the corporations that everybody calls the government, they actually can be tied to the Vatican, right? We'll pick that up on the other side. We'll be right back. Buckle Files after this. Welcome back to the Bunker Files. I'm Aaron Dakins. We have Vincent Finelli and Tom Deegan with us.
You know, Aaron, I was thinking about what Tom was saying, and there's nobody to call. You can't call the system. You can't call the police if you're being tased or beaten by the police. If your friends are with you and one of you is being beaten or tased by the police, they can't call the police either. So there's only one thing that there's only two scenarios. One is it continues, or two, the shooting starts. Those are the only two scenarios that I envision. Tom?
Well, that's a little black and white for me.
well, I've been accused of that. I've been accused of only seeing things in black and white.
Look, my experience has been in my own criminal matter. I was the only one there. I had no group coming with me to court. I stood on my own 2 feet by myself, and they were scared because I was bringing truth. I believe that they are scared of us. They are scared of us. And with small amounts of numbers of people, you may be able to affect change without bloodletting. But we're approaching a point of no return, I think. That if action isn't taken somewhere quickly, it'll be past the point where it will be black and white at that point.
Tom Deegan, let me say it this way. There are many, the many who are listening who know people who are in the public school system. The public school system is feeding our children with whatever they call food that, you know, probably contains GMO products. And the school systems are using wireless technologies. And there's certainly a link to wireless technologies and ill health. No question about it. Now, if we know this and we go to our schools and say, look, we want you to feed our children good food. They say, well, you know, we are part of the Department of Education and they, you know, Washington tells us what to do and that's what we do. We could say, I'll tell you what, how about we do this? How about we say to Washington, we don't want your money. We don't want this defective food. And we don't want the curriculum as forced by the Department of Education because our children are getting dumber by the second. We want this stopped. And the school system says, I'm sorry. You know, we don't want to hear this. We don't want you to tell us these things. As a matter of fact, we're sick of hearing about electromagnetic radiation. So take a hike. Now, at this point, the school system has become a domestic terrorist. They are terrorizing our children. They're terrorizing our children. They are causing health problems that we know are there. And they're causing long-term effects to our children's health by both the food and by the electromagnetic radiation and the spraying of insecticides. And they don't tell the students that we sprayed insecticides over the weekend to kill these bugs in the classroom. And when you put your elbows and arms on the desks, that you are absorbing that into your system and you're having these reactions and you're getting rashes and so forth. So if we can't stop it because they'll tell us to take a hike. So asking politely, I don't think is working.
It's not. And
but who are you going to call, Ghostbusters? There's nobody to call. Because they laugh at us.
I was going to call last.
I think a lot of them are scared, but the ones above it, they don't care. They laugh. We're useful idiots.
The ones that deal with the public on a day-to-day basis are terrified.
Well, those
of
are
course,
the little,
yes, the higher-ups. They don't care.
Yeah, the people who deal with the day-to-day public are the little people. Let me give you an example. So I got a call just before the expo. This woman called me up and said, you owe us $25. And I said, for what? And she said, well, we're the government, and you need to buy a license. I said, so I have to have a license to have an expo? And she said, yes. You have to have a license to do business in the county. And I said, or what? And she said, or you won't be able to have an expo. I said, okay. So what actually did you do to earn this $25? And she said, we're the government. I said, so what did you do to earn this $25 other than put a gun to my head and say that if I don't pay you, you will not let me have this expo? Other than that, what did you do to earn it? She said, we're the government. I said, have you ever told your boss about what it's like dealing with the public? And she said, I'd get fired if I did that. I said, well, why don't you tell your boss to either grow a set or take him out of his pocket and let him see what it's like dealing with the public? Because we hate what you guys are doing.
But they're the ones that took me from the home, so I have no idea who they were.
And
so they're doing this more and more, I would say, to reduce the individual's liability. Because if you can't identify them, how can you?
We literally despise what you're doing because you haven't earned a bit of this, but yet we are forced to earn it in order to give it to you because you have a gun to our head, and we're sick of it. So have him call me, and you know what? He hasn't called me.
He's not going to.
Well, here's what did happen, though. I got a call from the finance assistant director of finance for the city of Lebanon. And he said, Mr. Finelli. And I said, yeah, what's up? He said, I'm the assistant director of finance for the city of Lebanon. I said, I'm so glad you called. I have been looking all over for my refund check for renting the facility. Are you here to tell me that you sent it? He's here to harass me because he wants more money from me, and he's not going to get it. So
right.
they breached the contract. they breached the contract, and I'm going to fight them to the death. That's how I feel about it. I feel that these guys are thugs. And it's not just them. It's the city of Springfield, Missouri as well. And I also believe, and Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but is there a correlation between the sales tax rate and the level of corruption in a specific location? Meaning, the higher the sales tax percentage, the more corruption. Isn't there a correlation? Because I believe there is.
I would say yes, because they have more money in the coffers to use to harass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, this is what they are. They are the modern day mafia.
Absolutely.
They wear business suits, ties. That's it. The only difference, they still use guns and violence. I've been at the receiving end of M16s and M4s directly in my face, mm-hmm. with a barking dog drooling all over me.
Mm-hmm.
All because I said, who are you? Yeah, who are you? I don't know you. I don't care you got a shiny badge on and a black suit. That don't mean nothing to me. I could put on a Batman cape and a Batman suit. Does that make me Batman? Of course not. These guys are clowns. They're clowns. They really are.
Well,
the problem is the American people refuse to stand up together because they're scared of separating themselves from the herd and losing what little they may have. What little they may have.
Didn't this happen in the 1930s, the late 1930s in Germany?
Yes.
Isn't this exactly what happened? Like, oh, thank God they're seven blocks away. They're not here. It's okay. Thank God they're six
right.
blocks away. Five, four, three. Uh-oh, they're here.
You know, thank God I'm not the baker because they just took the baker. Thank God I'm not the teacher because they just took the teacher. And by the end, you're the only one left.
I was running for school board in our little county here. In the public school system, because I had seen the inside of how bad the educational system was. And I wanted to fix it. I wanted to start fixing it by firing the superintendent. And the way you fire the superintendent is you become part of the school board, and then the school board determines who is going to be hired. So I wanted to fire the superintendent. And it was kind of simple. And I went to...
Was that in the city of Lebanon?
No, that was in the... town of Hartville.
The county?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the school had 160 students, 40 per grade. So the high school had 40 freshmen, 40 sophomores, 40 juniors, and 40 seniors. 160 students total. And they didn't have enough books. So for example, the agricultural students, they had 6 books and let's say 20 students in this particular class. And they decided since they didn't have enough books, they would not assign homework because it wouldn't be fair. You couldn't give homework to 6 and not the other students in the class. But yet they had so much money they were buying computers that they couldn't use because they didn't know how to connect them. So I saw this incredible waste and it really bothered me. And then I saw the drug testing and they wanted to have this random drug testing. And they wanted to spend money on drug testing, and everyone would be drug tested. Well, actually not everybody. I made such a stink, they said, all right, well, it won't be everybody, but it will be those who participate in sports and who drive to school. So if you want a parking space in the parking lot at the school, you will agree to be drug tested. And it will be random, and it will be computer generated. Well, I was so outraged by this. I said, do we have a drug problem? And they said, well, they wouldn't answer. I said, so wait a minute. So we're going to drug test all the students allegedly at random by some algorithm that some company that you can't even tell me the name of is going to provide who gets drug tested. And if there is a false positive or if there's a positive, you're going to send a urine sample to this unnamed drug company. Or drug testing company. And what happens with the DNA? Well, we don't know. So wait a minute. So you're telling me you're going to test the DNA or keep copies of the DNA of minors without their permission? Really? And so I decided to run for school board office and stop this. And so I went to the school and I just observed. I just showed up and I went to the cafeteria and I went to teachers' meetings and I said to the teachers, what are you guys doing after school? And they said, well, you know, we have all these reports to do. I said, for who? They said, for Washington, the Department of Education. You know, we got to send this to the state. We got to send it to Washington. I said, how much time does it take? And they said, hours. I said, well, how do you ever have time to teach? They said, well, it's really hard. We don't have much time to teach because we're completing all these reports. I said, why don't you just throw Washington overboard? Forget it. Start doing what you're supposed to do, teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, and the basics. And they said, well, we can't do it because the administration won't let us do that. I said, well, I'll do my best to fix that. We'll fire the administration. Well, at that time, nobody knew who I was. I only got 1/8 of the votes, but I did run for school board. And I suggest everyone run for school board. What do you think, Tom?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And fire the entire administration, because everyone in the administration is guilty of making a mess of the educational system. They've messed up the lunch program. They've messed up the sports program. They've messed up the educational curriculum, and our children are not learning what they need to learn to be good villagers. They can't estimate.
Absolutely not. I mean, I have a daughter that's 13, and it's terrible. It's terrible.
Okay.
I was teaching her at home until she was 5, and she learned more between 2 and 5 than she has since she was 5. That's 8 years.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So just
terrible.
To add a little bit of humor, I put an ad in the paper announcing my candidacy. I didn't go door-to-door like you have to do if you want to win. You literally have to go door-to-door. And you can't win if you're not from here. So there's no way I could win. But I put an ad in the paper, and it said, fire the entire school board, one director at a time. Consider voting for Vincent Finelli, the only candidate who won't make your child urinate in a cup.
I love it.
Well, I really did it. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to some of these state representatives, and they even learned about it at state capitol. I mean, it made the news that there's this guy who was out of control. And, you know, here's how far he's out of control. But I suggest that if you have a child in the school system, that you try to take it back. You throw these thugs out. And then when it comes time to vote, we need more computers. No. We need Wi-Fi. No. We need raises for the teachers. No. We need sports uniforms. No. You just start saying no. And then you have a surplus. And then you say, you know what? We have a surplus. We're going to reduce the sales tax. We're going to reduce the property taxes, the personal property tax. We're going to reduce. And by the way, we don't need these cops.
Absolutely.
And the judge.
Do we have time for it? Probably not. By the way, since you're on schools, Lebanon R3 School District, 1310 East Route 66,
uh-huh.
Registered Corporation.
Uh-huh. Yep, I invited the
City of Lebanon Trust.
I invited the principal of the corporate school system of Lebanon, Missouri, to come on the air with me. He won't even return my phone calls.
Why would they?
They don't have to, right?
They're the master. They're the master.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate hearing myself. All of the corporations, these trusts, they all go back to the Vatican. That's what people forget.
Yeah, yes, it's under the Roman Curia.
It's under the Roman Curia. I suggest that everybody watch the movie with Roddy Piper called They Live. I really do, because it shows you a lot. It shows you we're against a lot of different entities out there. But it also shows you people that are just like you that turn their backs on the rest of us and work for them to get what they can.
Do we lose everybody?
Did we lose everybody? That's what I was wondering.
I was trying to speak. Did you not hear me?
No. Speak. Speak, okay. Child. Speak, child.
Well, I was looking up here. You texted me. City of Lebanon Trust. You ever heard of it?
No.
Corporation there. Lebanon City Administration.
The city administration has its own corporation.
Yes.
Wow. All right. What about their bonds? Why don't we?
That's a viable option. That's a viable option.
Okay, so we could put a claim on their bond.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. The problem that I found in West Virginia though was that they stopped doing the individual bonds per official, and they went to a blanket bond to cover the entire, let's say, county or the entire state.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I think the state of West Virginia had a $50 million bond, and yet under my contract with them, they were 10 times that.
Okay.
It's just me.
So you're at 500.
The great thing about it is, yeah, we're over a billion now with my incarceration, according to my rates, because I'm very valuable to me.
Wow, you're expensive.
Well, this is wonderful. Okay, so now do they?
I'm not on the street corner.
Do they have to increase their bond? Is their bond premium increased because of this claim to the bond?
I have no clue whatsoever, because I did the claim directly to them. I didn't go with the bond. I just wanted to find the bond company to see how they were bonded, because I wanted to go after individuals specifically, not a blanket bond.
Right.
I was trying to be able to remove them from office, because once there are so many claims made or a payout on a claim, they're unbondable.
Right, right. Well, and that's a great.
And if they're unbondable, they can't. Yes, it's a great way to remove them. But I did some searching, of course, then I went to jail, and then I came out and was doing other things. So and it's not about money to me. I don't care about the money. But I want other people to know, you have options. The bond is a viable option. It's like an insurance claim. Most of the time you can FOIA. I just demanded it, but you could FOIA and get the information, and then you contact the company. And, 7 out of 10 times they're going to have a claim form. They're going to have a form for you to fill out. And then you submit it. And normally, the bond agreement that was signed with the entities, states that they must cooperate, in the event of a claim. So they can't run into court and say frivolous, 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 and then dismiss it. The bond company actually has to look into it, and they must assist, otherwise they lose the bond. And I know in West Virginia, one claim, they'll still keep the bond. If they pay out, they're probably unbondable, but because it's a blanket bond, it doesn't seem to affect them the same way as an individual bond.
Right, and it's just like...
And that's probably why they went to blanket bonds.
Sure, and that's the same kind of mentality that the police have. They don't have one guy show up; they have a whole bunch show up. And now you're not complaining about one guy that beat you up. There's like 7 or 10 of them that were all involved in this. Now it's hard to figure out who's who.
Well, I to this day do not know the 3 persons that kidnapped me initially, because they were wearing ski masks. So I have
no clue really?
Who actually kidnapped me. Yes.
Wow.
Now, what would happen, seriously, what would happen if you went into City Hall with a ski mask?
Well, let me tell you this story. I used to cook for a living, and I lived about 4 miles away. So being a cook and making no money, I decided I would bike to and from work, pedal bike. And I worked at a bar, so I was midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd be biking home. Middle of winter, snowing, I'm on a bike. I've got gloves and a ski mask on because it's cold. And I was pulled over and given a ticket for covering my face in public.
Wow, we wear ski masks here in the winter. Huh.
And I was told that it was a law, and it was a law from the mid-1800s that you cannot cover your identity in public in Parkersburg.
Well, now, what about the cops who cover their identity?
Well, that's what got me thinking is, you know, how could these guys run up in my house with M16s in military garb, military boots, no markings, no identification, just military garb. I didn't even know their names. They had no badges or nothing.
We're talking about terrorists, right?
Terrorists. It's exactly what they are. Mm-hmm. And those three individuals that took me did not fill out a report saying that they're the ones that took me from the home, so I have no idea who they were.
And
so they're doing this more and more, I would say, to reduce the individual's liability. Because if you can't identify them, how can you sue them?
There's a guy by the name of Andrew Spencer. He was a cop, young thug cop in the city of Sparta, Missouri. And he was the guy who tased one of our instructors and students at USA Prepares in Missouri, just down the road about an hour in Sparta, Missouri, the city of Sparta, like 1 1/4 square miles. And so Andrew Spencer came under fire, and I gave out the mayor's phone number on our broadcast, and they took a lot of heat, and a bunch of our instructors and students went to an alderman's meeting, and they decided that they wanted to discuss getting the mayor a different phone because he was getting phone calls from all over the country, and people weren't happy with him. Ultimately, here's what happens. The police chief resigns. Okay, the guy, Andrew Spencer, the cop's boss, resigns. And guess who gets promoted to police chief? Andrew Spencer, the same guy who tased a guy who was driving, a 68-year-old guy who was driving in his car. And what was he doing?
Well,
he was on the phone with 911 saying, hey, I got pulled over by a cop at 9 o'clock at night or 9:30 at night. I don't know what's going on. The cop pulled me over. I got this bright light on me. The cop hasn't come out of his car. I don't know what's going on. So he's on the phone with 911 explaining that he was pulled over by this cop. The cop gets out of the cop car, opens the door of Bob Estep's car. Bob Estep is that 68-year-old farmer. And the cop tases Bob Estep right in his car while he was on the phone with 911. Now, he wasn't speeding. He wasn't doing anything wrong. Nothing wrong. They said, well, you know, maybe he was drunk. They gave him a breathalyzer. They brought him to the place where they do the breathalyzer test, and he was clean. He was absolutely, positively clean. So no reason to pull him over, no reason to tase him, and the cop gets promoted. So I call out for the sheriff of the county, a guy named Joey Kyle. Joey Kyle's a sheriff of the Christian County, Missouri, in which lies the city of Sparta. And I say, where is the constitutional sheriff? Well, the sheriff just went to federal prison for corruption, fleecing the community, fleecing the village. He just went to federal prison. There's nobody to call. Nobody.
Now, Tom, don't these, like the police departments, aren't they supposed to be licensed and bonded to carry private insurance?
Yes, they are, from my understanding, and we're uncovering that here in West Virginia. I went over that on the live stream today, that the Secretary of State is actually running 3 or 4 insurance companies, and she is the head officer of those corporations, and they're being run out of our Capitol complex. Which makes sense now, doesn't it? Wouldn't they want to run their own insurance company?
Huh.
Well, yeah,
it's
but
interesting
it's
what
surreal.
You find when you start digging. Well, it's, you know, I'm trying to stop going down the rabbit hole because it keeps getting deeper.
Tom, what you said is absolutely unbelievable. If I heard you right, you're saying the Secretary of State is running an insurance racket within the state.
structure, yeah.
Yeah, within the state structure.
So, yeah, I went over it on the live stream today, and let me go ahead and keep talking. I'll look for it, and I'll tell you exactly what they are.
Well, we don't have to.
I guess we'll let the break talk for us. We'll be back with Bunker Files. Welcome back to the Bunker Files with Vincent Pinelli, Aaron Dakins, and Tom Deegan today. What were you looking at during the break, Tom?
Okay, so what we have here is State Automobile Mutual Insurance Company, and the principal officer is the Secretary of State being run out of the Capitol Complex. We have the Union Security Insurance Company, principal officer, West Virginia Secretary of State being run out of the Capitol Complex. We have State Auto Property and Casualty Insurance, principal officer, Secretary of State being run out of the Capitol Complex. And we also have what I just ran across.
Was that State Auto?
Let me pull it back up here. It is State Auto Property and Casualty Insurance.
So the all of these little quote unquote insurance companies are complicit in the cover up.
I would say that's what it's looking like. I would say it's looking rather odd. We also found, I ran across it while I was live streaming and didn't even notice it before, Dominion Post, which is a newspaper, and it's being run out of our Capitol complex. Under the state of West Virginia newspaper, Dominion Post. So it gets deep, and it gets very, very odd here the farther we dig. I suggest everyone go and spend a few minutes on Dun & Bradstreet and see what you can find.
You know,
yeah,
Aaron,
it's pretty interesting.
Aaron,
it's
not often that I'm speechless, but this
I understand. Trust me. Tom's been taking me down these rabbit holes for several months. I've got some questions, Tom, and this is a perfect time. When I went to look up a bunch of Indiana State, like the Sheriff's Department and all that, I got a listing like, Union Township Trustee or the County of Henry, which is a county here. And then it goes down. It says location type, which is a branch. And then under that it says the SIC code and then the NAICS code. So I looked those up. Exactly what are they?
Well, the codes.
What does it mean?
Boy, this is anybody else having interference problems?
Yes. We all are.
Okay.
And the listeners can hear it too.
Those codes, generally, when you look them up, they'll try to say that they're government services. Which is more evidence that they are just private. I call them subcontractors, providing government service yet purporting to be government. That's how I classify them.
That's kind of is. So they really, probably get 1099s too, right?
That's. I'm sure they do. I mean, I'm looking at 26 pages just of the state of West Virginia alone. 26 pages.
I don't know. I don't know how you get into where you did, because I can't get into there yet. I was watching the live stream earlier. I just can't get into where you were.
Well, the PDF that I have was given to me by someone that has a Dun & Bradstreet account. So it goes a little deeper than what you get.
Okay.
You know, I can see that. I can see the addresses. I can select specific ones, and then, of course, they select it. I can see their credit, how much credit they have.
See, I can't get to the credit part.
Say, Says state of West Virginia limit of credit 13,500.
That just seems like such a minuscule amount for a quasi-government office.
Yes, but then I look down and there's many, many state of West Virginias, and I see one at 580,000. But it's out of Welch, West Virginia, which is not our capital.
Hmm.
And we have branches all over the place in West Virginia. What we need, or what we need, is someone that has access to the Dun & Bradstreet account. We tried, and I think it was $12,000 for a year. Of course, we're not going to pay to look, because we don't care enough to know all of this information. We don't care. We don't need to know it. I mean, I'm looking here, state of West Virginia governor's office. And, of course, it is them, because the official website is governor.wv.gov. It is his phone number. And his description is a legislative body, and yet he's the executive branch. And tell me how that happens. I'm not sure how that happens.
What, he's the executive branch?
Well, a governor is in the executive, but he's labeled as a legislative body.
Yeah, that. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is imaginary land. This is
money laundering land.
It's exactly what it is. You know, they are better at it than most drug dealers at this point. It's a beautiful thing. It looks like someone sent me a text and said that they found something in the CAFA report that they were able to trace to offshore accounts. That's why I'm sitting here, so I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but he said he found the specific item in there that was traced to an offshore account. So it looks like the CAFR accounts aren't even a true accounting anymore, because they're just taking it offshore.
Well, wait, back up, Tom. Explain to Vinny and the listeners that don't know what the CAFR accounts are.
It's a comprehensive annual financial report that all corporations are required to file yearly, and it's supposed to be a true accounting of all assets and liabilities, not just in government instances, not just what they tell you they have or don't have. This is supposed to be true, accurate, and complete. And I don't deal with them because I don't understand them. I had a money man, and he understood them. I let him deal with them. But I know that it's supposed to be a complete accounting. And that they use funny accounting, such as if they have a liability for the next 30 years, 1 year they may put 20 years of that liability in that year to cover up money. And yet they didn't actually use it for that liability. It was just a way to extract more that year. So they use some funny accounting procedures for those that understand those documents.
The longer,
well, I've got a friend I need to put you in contact with. She's one of the ones that helped uncover the CAFR documents. I know her.
Okay. Well, we've known about them here in West Virginia for about 30 years.
Okay.
Okay. Remind you. Put me in contact with her, Aaron.
Remind me later, Tom.
Okay.
Right now. But I will look up her number.
I play with words, Aaron. I play with words.
You I know. You get me every time now. Okay. I know Vinny's still speechless. He hasn't said a word.
Well, I'm thinking about the more we discuss this, the
more lost
absolutely
we
the deeper it is, the more complex it is. And I was thinking, as Tom was describing this, thinking back to the 1980s when I worked for a large bank. And there was this guy who worked there, and he was in an office kind of, he was with us, but he was a little farther away than everybody else. And
right.
I asked who he was. He was the IRS auditor. Now, he was there on site every day. The bank gave him, and this is the corporate headquarters of the bank. Okay. It was a credit card operation with like 600 employees there. And this guy was right in the president's suite, but he worked for the IRS. So the IRS was there spying 24/7, 365, and yet so that we follow their rules. And I was thinking about this as you were describing how they change the rules on how they report at whim. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you catch them, which is almost impossible to do, but if you were to catch them, what would they do? Would they say, well, it's just the way it is. Or we'll look into it, and they'll never look into it. But what seems to happen is that there are rewards for doing bad things. Like the more revenue, the better the equipment the cops get. You tase somebody and you get promoted to police chief. Now who's gonna call you on the carpet? Nobody.
Right.
And the sheriff was a crook. The police chief.
But look, you don't get into a position of power within the government structure unless you've shown that you are ruthless, cunning, and a criminal. You just won't. And we had Gene on here today, the live stream, which is a fellow gentleman that we're suing the state over. And he had this problem with his tax refund. He wanted it in constitutional money.
Hmm.
And, of course, they spent a year and who knows how much money to try to convince him that a dollar bill is money. And they brought in several cases, and they brought in U.S. code. And all of those are in contradiction to the original contract. All of them, everything they brought up. And we know that anything that's non-constitutional, unconstitutional, cannot be valid. It couldn't be, because then that would invalidate the original contract, would it not?
Right.
Of course it would. So which one is it? They don't care. You can catch them every which way but loose. They don't care. I mean, I made an impassioned plea last night and did receive a contact from the 3%ers for assistance in West Virginia. Because there is nowhere else to turn now.
Wait. There
is nowhere else. It is the people.
Please define what you mean by the 3%ers.
It is a militia organization. From my understanding, it's in many, many states, but not all.
And they're referred to as the 3%ers?
I believe that's what they referred to themselves as last night.
Okay. Because I thought there were about 3% of us that actually understood a little bit about what's going on and paid attention.
Right.
Seriously. And then I realized how wrong I was. I was off by I was off by 2/3. There's only 1% of us
right.
that are paying attention.
Right.
And there's only 1% of
Correct.
1% that are actually doing something about it.
And there's Correct. Hardly anybody that understands it.
Well, and that's why I lose my voice every day. I get on every call I can from coast to coast just to try to help people and enlighten them because I can't do it myself here. The three of us, we can't do it. I mean, we're taking on the entire state here, and they've pushed our case back to the fall, even though their trial court rule 16.12 says it. Extraordinary writs and equitable relief shall be heard within 30 days, and judgment shall be entered within 30 days. And now they've pushed us off for 5-6 months. Well, I've had enough of that.
Tom, I spoke in three separate states about starting your own business. And taking the same tax deductions that the rich take. And each time before I, got rolling in the seminar, I asked the group, this is three separate states. This would be Indiana, North Carolina, and Missouri, all within space of a couple months. And I asked the group, how many of you fill out your own tax form? Do your own taxes? And at best, there were only a few in the seminar group in each state who filled out their own taxes. Only a few, like three. And the reason, and I said, okay, so why is that? And they said, well, it's too hard. It's too complicated. And my response was, okay, so you're going to turn over to somebody you hardly know your deepest financial secrets, and you're going to open your account, your checkbook to them and say, well, you figure it out and let me know how much I should write this check for to the IRS. You do it because I don't know how to do it. How is it possible that you would enter into an arrangement like that where you have no clue what the rules are and you're going to let somebody else play for you with your money? That situation is exactly
ludicrous.
Well, yeah, it's ludicrous, and it is very much akin to exactly what we're talking about here. The system is so complex that we can't figure it out. So if we end up in court, we hire an interpreter. We hire a coder and a decoder, a guy who speaks the lexicon that we don't know because we've been precluded from learning it in the public training camp, which would be the public school system. So we've been dumbed down. We've been kept away from learning it. We've been lied to, and the rules keep changing, and that's why we can't figure it out and hold these guys accountable and put them in locks. And I'm talking about those locks where you put your head and your arms in and the bar goes over your head and arms and you stand there until you nearly die.
Oh, and stocks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, locks and stocks, yes. Mm-hmm. Right. That's, yeah.
Well, that's kind of like stanchions for cattle, so isn't it the same thing?
Well, I think we need to bring them back. I think we need to, you know, start an industry where we make these things.
Well, I'm going to get into the rope industry because I think we're going to be using it soon.
Make it hemp and you're probably good.
We could go ahead. It doesn't matter to me. Nylon cuts a little more.
Well,
this is, it's so deep. The rabbit holes are so deep and twisty and dark. And it goes to such strange places that we probably never could have conceived of even 10 years ago. Without the internet, we wouldn't even probably know half of this.
Well, this entire broadcast is powered by the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, we have, there are three of us in three different states all converging. You're in Indiana. Tom is in West Virginia. I'm in Missouri, and we all connect in Colorado. And from Colorado, it goes out across, you know, the entire globe. So, you know, the internet, you're right. It's a good thing. But, you know, Barry wants the key. He wants to be able to shut it off at will. No kidding. Have you?
Well, they shut my electric and phone off the other night at will. I was the only one on the block without electric.
Well, yeah, that was right on my show. It was really cool.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't cool because it ruined the whole show because I was out of sync.
You were out of sync, and you were quiet. Lark was talking a lot, but you were real quiet.
Yeah. Well, I was having some technical difficulties, and I was trying to straighten it out.
I know. It was nuts. But they do this. They control everything. That's what people need to understand. They control everything. And they control most people's thoughts. So what makes the listeners to the shows like this different than your main Walmart shoppers? It's not just education. I know plenty of well-educated people that have no idea what's going on. What makes us different?
Oh, I know. I know the answer. The answer is we are willing to stand up, and we don't necessarily feel that we need to be part of the herd. We are willing to think something through and take action on it. And we can't figure out why there's so
nobody else will. That's right.
Let me share something with Tom. Tom, I've been broadcasting for years, about five, and I have a meetup every Monday night. It used to be Friday night. And I've said And these are people who have been coming to the meetup every week for years. And I've said, you know, I feel that if I were in the fight of my life, and there were two of us, and I don't mean you and I don't mean Aaron, but I'm talking about, you know, the people who come to the expo, people who come to the meetup, people who I know personally, that there are very few whom I know who would stand back to back with me. So I would cover the front 180 degrees and the guy behind me would cover the back 180 degrees, and together we would have each other's back, and we would be, you know, let's say surrounded by this threat, them, the other guys, the blue coats, if you will, and, you know, the guys in body armor, and I would be armed, and the guy who's got my back would be armed, and I'm convinced, 100% convinced, that the guy at my back would raise his hands and say, "Don't shoot!" And I would get shot in the back.
Well, if I can ever get off home confinement, I would stand at your back, and trust me, they'd kill us both.
Well,
they'd probably shoot me on the way. So,
Tom, you realize what I'm saying? What I'm saying is there are so few who will stand on principle. There are so few who have the metal that it takes to resist the domestic terrorists, the traitors, those who are committing treason. There are so few who are willing to do whatever it takes to fire the school administration, who are dumbing our children down and rendering them second-rate participants in society. They're causing this. They're not representing our interests. They are selling us out. They're saying, you know, we're not going to let you have labels on your foods because we don't want you to know that you're being poisoned. We don't want you to know. But we're fighting for you. We need to throw all of these guys out of office, every single one. We need to replace them with anybody. Anybody's better than what we've got. Anybody.
But so few
are willing to do it. That's the problem. I only think there are 300 of us.
But yet, how many people are going to get sucked into the whole presidential election, the campaign trail, be sucked into going to those nice little hubs in their counties and voting? And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It's already pre-decided.
I believe you're absolutely correct. And I was thinking about at the next Republican group, I filled out the form to run for committee man, and my wife for committee woman in our little hamlet. And we submitted it at the last minute of the last hour of the last day, and no one ran against us. And so we have these positions, and I want to go to the next Republican committee meeting where the candidates speak, and I can speak, I'm entitled to speak, and I'd like to say, I've heard all you guys speak, and you've said some wonderful things, and if it were true, it'd be kind of nice, but how about y'all step down, and let somebody else have a chance? We're sick of reelecting you guys. We're doing nothing for us. You're selling us out. You're traitors. You're committing treason. You need to go. I'd like to do that. What do you think would happen?
I don't think anything would happen. I think we'll be kind of stunned, but I don't think they would say anything or do anything.
Donald Trump is
maybe kick you out.
Donald Trump is doing just a little bit of that, isn't he?
He is, but I'm beginning to think that he's like a Perot. He's put there to pull votes away so that the other parties, quote unquote, get the votes. I don't see him as a real candidate.
No, he's bought and paid for behind the scenes like the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, okay, so that means we have zero representation, correct?
Correct.
We have zero. I mean, look at the Ross Perot.
And I don't, You know, I don't want representation. I want to be left alone.
That's
I don't want to have to deal with it.
That's probably the single thing that goes through the thread of those who are like us. That's what we want. We want to be left alone. We don't want to have people telling us on something that we watch as a video what's supposed to be funny. We don't want a laugh track. We don't need a laugh track. We know what's
right.
We don't have to be told. We don't want to be programmed. We don't want subliminal messages. We don't want Verizon tracking us and following us. And we don't want targeted commercials based on our searches. We want to be left alone, and we don't want their supervision. And we don't want them stealing from us at the muzzle of a gun. And we don't like it. But there's so many pansies out there that we're outnumbered probably 99 to 1. That's the problem.
Yes. Well, they're scared to give up what little they have gotten. You know, they feel if they have a little home and they only have to work 60 hours a week and they've got a car and, you know, their wife's got some food and the kids got some clothes, they don't want to rock the boat.
And it's too
hard. But what's coming down the pike is going to rock the boat severely.
And it's too hard to think, Tom and Aaron. People don't want to think anymore. Literally, they don't want to think. It's too hard. They would rather come home from that job that they hate, or those three jobs that they hate, and turn on that bozo box and veg out or become a zombie or become semi-comatose until they have to repeat it the next morning and go and do it again.
I want to go back to that.
I had, I'm tired. I was talking with a teacher, and I said that I would pay for any teacher and their spouse and their children to come to the expo because I thought it was that important. I would provide free access to all of our seminars. I wasn't going to feed them, but for 7 expos, I invited all teachers, their spouses, and their children to come for free. I sent physical passes, hundreds of them per school, for a 100-mile radius around the location of the expo. One teacher called me and said, do you know that I only have the weekend? I've got to get everything done during the weekend. I don't have time to go to an expo. I've got stuff I got to do. Their day ends at 3:05 in the afternoon. They only work 9 months of the year. They're mercenaries.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we'll be right back to the Bunker Files after this. Some of them want to get used by and we're back live to the Bunker Files. We have Vincent Finelli, myself, Aaron Dakins, and our guest is Tom Deegan. We've been discussing the quasi-government, a.k.a. the corporation that runs this country and everything bad in it. And, Vinny, you were talking about giving out passes to the expos to the teachers.
Yeah, and so what happened was this teacher called and said, you don't understand. You know, we're just so busy, and we only have the weekends for our lives, and we've got to do, you know, we have to go shopping for food, and we only have the weekend to do that. So you expect us to come to an expo and learn how to prepare and survive and learn how things work and plant a garden and learn about alternative energy and how a water well works and how geoengineering works, and you expect us to come and do that? And I said, I don't get it. You know, you guys get off at 3:05 in the afternoon, way before everybody else gets off. You're off at 3:05 and you can't go to the supermarket on the way home, you know, plan and go to the supermarket on the way home so you have enough groceries at home so that you can come to the expo for, how about one day? How about just Saturday? How about Sunday? Oh, well, Sunday is Praise the Lord Day. Okay, so how about you tell your preacher that, okay, you guys have us for 51 weeks of the year. How about just one weekend? How about one weekend you let us out? and you'll let us go get physically prepared, because we're doing fine on the spiritual preparedness, so we'll go to the expo for 1 weekend. As a matter of fact, how about bringing the whole congregation? They won't do it. No preacher will do it. Well, the reason that no preacher will do it is because they will miss out on 1/52nd of the annual revenue. That's what that's all about. So if everybody shows up at the expo and they spend money at the expo to buy things for survival, maybe long-term storage food, maybe seeds, maybe some tools, maybe learn, they won't have as much dependence on the preacher. Maybe that's what it's all about. But no preacher will bring his flock to a preparedness expo. Now, we've only done 7 of them, and I've been to others that other people organize. No religious group has gone to a preparedness expo that I've ever seen. What I'm saying is the teachers are mercenaries. The public school teachers are mercenaries, because if you don't pay them, they will not show up. The proof is, 3 months of the summer, they're not there unless you're paying them to show up. There are plenty of students that they say, boy, you know, Joey and Johnny and Billy and Bobby and Sally, and, you know, they're really behind, and boy, they could really use some help. I'll tell you what, if you pay me, I'll help them. They won't help them out of the goodness of their heart. They're mercenaries. So, Aaron, we just alienated the teachers.
Yeah, you did.
Is that a problem?
No, it's not.
Well, they're not listening anyway. How do we know? Because they're teachers. There are those that can, and there are those that teach, right?
Right. True.
I'm sorry that I was on this rant. But which one of you guys pushed my button?
That would be Tom. I'm blaming Tom.
I'll take the heat like everything else.
Yeah, you're so gallant and chivalrous, aren't you?
Tom, I try to be. It's delightful to be broadcasting with you. You know, and the truth, you know what it is? The truth really hurts. It really does. And unfortunately, there are too many families who believe that the teachers who are in the business of being hired to educate the children, that people believe that they really know what they're doing and they're really good at it and they're doing a great job. There are people who actually believe that. I think they're doing, overall, a miserable job. And the proof is very simple. Ask some young person to estimate. How far is it to the supermarket from here, wherever that is? How far is it to the supermarket? Or how far is it to whatever their favorite restaurant is? How far is it to get there? Can they do it? Can they estimate it in distance? Can they actually give you directions? As a matter of fact, in order to be...
If you let them access their smartphone,
No, they could. No. I'm talking about, you know, they can have their eyes open. They can have a piece of paper and a pencil. They can look around, but they can't access smartphone. As a matter of fact, interesting thing. In order to be in my class in Virginia, when I taught computer science, it was an elective. One of the things that I required the students to do was go through an interview, and with me and another teacher. Okay, and one of the interview questions was very simple. There was a restaurant in town. There was one restaurant. One. Okay. And there was one high school. And I would say, from this restaurant, which everyone knew where it was, how do I get from the restaurant to the high school? Tell me in words how to do that. And it was really simple. Go out of the parking lot, make a left. Go to the T and make a right. Go to the next T, make a left. That's it. Those are the instructions. It was in a rural community. Nobody could do it. Nobody. Not one out of 60 students could give those directions. I'm talking about high school juniors.
It's not surprising.
That's why I say the educational system has failed us. That's why I say that the teachers are mercenaries. How many teachers donate their time after school to help students? How many? As a matter of fact,
I know one, Bill Hudock.
Okay.
There's a few.
Okay, that's great to know. It really is. Are they outnumbered by those who don't?
Absolutely. 100,000 to 1.
Mm-hmm. Right. By the way, Tom, are you being paid to teach today?
I haven't been paid to teach for 5 years. I'm a pauper.
Aaron?
I don't get paid.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, it's unanimous. Not one of us is being paid to teach, and we're donating our time. We're literally...
Well, we donate our time, but here's the thing. What people don't realize is that everything has been molded. It's been created for them. It's been packaged nicely. There's pretty bows on your life. And they've done this over the millennia in order to have a global slave population that doesn't know they're slaves. And it's worked perfectly.
I have a comment about that. You're absolutely right. And I owned a farm, our family owned a farm in Virginia. And this farm was a farm that previously had slaves on it. There was the master's house, and then there was the slave cabin at the other end of the property. I bought it that way. And after I sold it and moved to Missouri, I was looking up at the ceiling one night, going to sleep, and I looked up and I said, I got it. I mean, this is absolutely brilliant. So what we did was, instead of having to care for our slaves, we freed them. And they had to care for themselves, but they were still slaves. And by the way, that's us too. So now we have to care for ourselves. We are still slaves. We can't get out of the system. We're trapped. And we're all slaves. And that's
true.
Exactly what you're saying.
Well, the slave owners, which only 4.8% of slave owners were white. Just going to throw that out because you're going to push my button. Most of the slaves were provided with housing, food, medical. What do we get?
Well, I can tell you that the slaves were provided with those things. As a matter of fact, I mean, I know this because the farm that I bought had this slave cabin. And in on the property, there was a cemetery. And the slaves had the same last names as the landowners. They had the same last names. And they were buried in the same cemetery. They were like a working unit. I would say family. And they lived there for years and years and years. And then when they were freed, they didn't know what to do.
Most of them wanted to go back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
sounds like today.
Yeah, it does.
Meaning going back, we want to go back to the way.
Well, you free them, but they want to go back to slavery. They don't want to get rid of the government. They like
their food stamps and their Section 8 housing. They like all of that. Yeah, they do. And with Obama's new global bill, not global bill, his new, what I can't remember what it's called. I went on a rant about this on my show the other night. It's a spying. He's tracking everybody's information in such a way as to see how the banks loan money. Is there racial separations in the way banks loan money? Do they loan enough money to the minorities of this country? And if these cities do enough for the minorities in the country, and if they don't, they're going to withhold federal grants and funds until they correct that situation to the point where they want more Section 8 housing brought into the suburbs, the rural areas, and elite neighborhoods. So I don't know. You tell me. You know, the slaves are loving this.
I think if you were to take away their television, there'd be rioting. I think people are addicted to television. They're addicted to the programming of television. If you take away their internet, you know, or their phones, they would have a huge problem. How is it that we got so dependent on phones?
If you took away their phones, there would be rioting immediately.
We were talking about.
Well, they gradually introduced it, and then it's something to keep you from. It keeps you distracted from your surroundings.
And it keeps you from thinking. It keeps this whole generation of kids, they don't know what it's like to sit down in a quiet place by themselves and just think and do introspection and figure out who they are. They have no clue.
Let me share something with you that we've never talked about on the air. We have one of our instructors who will remain nameless. And this instructor and her husband do something that I don't know anyone else who does. Literally, when it comes time to go to sleep at night, they shut off the main circuit breaker in their house. They shut it off. Literally, no electricity going through the wires anywhere in their home. Nowhere. And they're willing to do that. And they want electromagnetic radiation out of their environment, for one thing. So there's no wireless, there's no television, there's no electricity running in their house whatsoever. I think that's fascinating. Now, that would be like going on an electricity diet, cold turkey. How many people are willing to do that? How many people are willing to separate themselves from society? Let me give you an example. This person is the only one I know who is willing to do it. I've said at some of our meetups, tell you what, let's find out what it's going to be like when things go south, you know, the collapse. What's it going to be like? Here's what we do. So we go to the circuit breaker and we turn off the circuits in our house, except for the refrigerator. We leave that running. And the freezer, we leave that running. And any medical devices that are for life support, we leave them running. Everything else, we shut off the breakers at 6 o'clock at night. And we leave them off until 9 o'clock for 3 hours. And then we write down all the things that we don't like. And we want to be prepared for those things. Like, oh, the flashlight didn't have any batteries. Can't find the matches for the candles. You know, all those things that we don't like. And no one is willing to even do that. No one is willing to take a 3-hour fast from some of the electricity in their house. That means the internet, the TV, lights, and the phone. No one, except one person. Isn't that amazing?
I love it when the power goes out for a little bit. My brain knows peace, okay?
Right.
So I love it.
Me too. Me too.
I don't. Sorry. I can't get anything done then.
Sorry. I love it.
I get booted off calls.
Well, what's so bad about that?
Because I don't like what's coming down the pike, and I've got to stop it. Once I can stop it, I'll turn all this stuff off. I'll break it all, actually. I'll break it all.
Tell us what you see coming down the pike. In
what you have coming
now
down
push
the
his
pike
buttons.
Is... I guess the best way to describe it is look at the Terminator movies. That's what's coming. You're going to have AI running everything, and every second of your life will be controlled if they let you live.
You know, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. I spent last weekend with Rick Miller and one of our listeners from Michigan. We went to just... outside of Chicago to a psychotronic conference. And Dr. Richard Allen Miller was speaking. My card key, we were sharing a room. I was sharing his room with him. The card key wouldn't work. The next card key wouldn't work. The next card key to the room wouldn't work. Couldn't get in the room. I was locked out, absolutely locked out, at the mercy of the hotel. And the guy wanted my ID. And I can't produce an ID that says Dr. Richard Allen Miller on it. And it was his room. So I said to the guy, it's okay. It's okay. I'll just sleep here in the lobby. I mean, there's no, I had no other choice other than, you know, go sleep in the car. The problem is we are at the mercy of these computers. We're at the mercy of somebody somewhere. We don't even know where. We don't know who that can shut off our credit cards just for fun. We have computers.
Well, pretty soon it won't even be a person.
Right.
It'll be literally a computer doing it.
That's exactly.
It'll say no.
And that's happened to me 3 separate times. A computer has shut off my credit card for my own safety. For my own safety.
I know. I hate that.
And Lowe's won't sell me paint using my credit card for my own safety. I mean, really, these are the kinds of things that are happening. And it's going to get worse. Imagine if you just had one credit card and it got shut down and you're halfway there and you ran out of gas. You know, you're going across country and you're going to see some relatives and they live a couple hundred miles away, maybe 500 miles away. And you're ready for that next tank of gas so you can finish the trip. And your card doesn't work. And you have $10 in your pocket. What are you going to do? I'm sure that service station or that gas station is going to lend you the money, right? I'm certain of that. You say, I'll tell you what, just give me your name and your number, and here's our address, and just send it in when you get a chance.
30 years ago, maybe. Not now.
Not now. Not now. And it's for our own safety. And that's what they keep telling us. So, what else do you see coming our way?
Lots of dead people.
Mm-hmm. And why do you see that?
They're going to eliminate. It's always been their plan. Once they had the technology to replace us, us useless eaters are no longer needed.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you seen the series called Between? It's on Netflix.
No.
Aaron?
No, I have not.
Okay. Between, it's only 6 episodes. And all of a sudden, you know, in this one city, everyone 22 years old and older dies. They'll die. And they're only left with the young people. So now you have these young people who are caring for the orphans of the people who died. And they're trying to figure out why. And then the government puts a fence around the city for everybody's safety. So now everybody's stuck in the city. And then there are armed guards who are willing to shoot anybody who tries to get out. And then there are missiles. Like if you try to fly out with your little Piper Cub, you get shot down. And then the power goes off. And then the cell phones don't work. And then when the power does come back on, the government says, okay, there's a quarantine and you need to burn all the bodies. Burn all the bodies, which really means burn all the evidence. And then they decide that, well, to keep everybody safe, they need to have these immunizations. So everybody gets lined up and brought over to the prison where they get the immunizations to repair the damage so that they can rejoin society. But that's really not what it is. The immunization is really the death sentence. It's a death injection. But they're told you got to have this, and then we can lift the quarantine. And what happened? It was a government experiment that went awry and killed everybody over 22. And you know what? I don't think it's so much of science fiction as I think it's a documentary. I would say that it's required for everybody listening to this broadcast to watch it. It's called Between.
Well, I've heard the new Terminator movie, too, shows how the, like, tablets and phones, the people are enslaved to those contraptions, too.
Well, there's...
Yeah, it was a pretty good movie, actually. But, yes, I mean, they're showing you exactly... Well, they've been showing you for, what, 30 years now on Terminator, what's coming. They've been showing you.
I agree. Skynet and the whole bit.
So there are only a few of us who are resisting, right?
Very few.
Tom, I missed what you said.
It's already here. They have it. But they must eliminate those like us, before they can fully implement it. Because we won't accept it. I mean, I won't accept it. I'm definitely not going to accept it. They're going to carry me out of my home next time in a body bag, not in cuffs.
Well, how about they carry them out in a body bag instead?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I can't, I'm not permitted to defend myself in my situation. Otherwise, it would be the other way around. Trust me.
Well, you know, if you move to Missouri, we have we have a constitution which has been amended, but of course the constitution doesn't mean anything. But in Missouri, there is a constitutional amendment that you have the right to bear arms. Period. Now, the way I read that, Tom, is that means if you're 2 years old, if you're 90 years old, if you are convicted wrongfully or legitimately, or if you want a bazooka or a howitzer or a tank, you have the right to bear arms. However, the Constitution, you know, in the city of Lebanon, we've been told that, well, we don't go by that. We have our own rules. So
we've gone to corporate rules now, so, and the corporation doesn't want you to have weapons.
I can never in America actually legally do it again.
Is it time to move?
Where are you going to go though? It's going to be worldwide.
Well, you have to go to...
You may be able to run for a year, if you're lucky. But at some point, it's over, no matter where you're at. It will be implemented.
So how do we survive, Tom, in your mind?
The key is knocking down the first domino, and we're trying here in West Virginia to start the domino effect. And if you can actually get decent people to come in and to try to ensure and look over the next structure, you may be able to fend it off for another 10 years or so. But I don't see being able to beat them in the long run unless you hunt them down and remove their seed from the face of the earth. Because if you leave any of them alive, they will come back.
They're kind of like roaches that way.
I like roaches. I could live with roaches. I can handle that.
You know...
You like that?
Here, Tom, there are people who have said, you know, let's work on educating them. Let's get them to understand that they need to stop shooting us with the tasers and the radar guns and handcuffing us and throwing us down and beating us up. You know, let's teach them that, you know, it's not playing nice. I don't see how that's...
Well...
I really don't see how
it's not. They're murdering our children daily before our eyes. They're not going to stop. They're only going to get worse. The bloodlust is getting worse.
Look at all the Planned Parenthood. Look at the Planned Parenthood stuff coming out, which we already knew.
I mean, if you want to, I don't advocate violence of any sort. I'm a very peaceful person.
Yeah, me too.
I love peace. But they won't learn until you treat them the same way we're treated. Take from that what you will.
Well, at some point, isn't it normal for especially a man, to stand up to protect himself and his family? Isn't that normal? Is that kind of hardwired into most people?
You may take arms against the armed.
Mm-hmm.
The maxim of law.
Tom, I want to tell you that...
And yes.
In Lebanon, Missouri, when I was standing up against these cops, there were people just a few feet away watching. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody came to my rescue. Nobody. And these guys were physically bigger. Each one of those guys was physically bigger. They had all the accoutrements for war on their person. They were ready. And nobody. And these are preppers and survivalists. Nobody came.
And a lot of them were carrying guns, too. Anyway. Hey. Thanks for tuning in, listeners. We'll be back next week. Bunker Files with Vincent Finelli and Eric Dakins. And our guest is Tom Diggins.
Ain't no sweet dream.
No, there's no sweet dreams.
Thanks. Thanks so much for being with us, Aaron. Thank you.